Welcome to another summer edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. This is my 201st podcast here.
Wow.
And it's also the last one we'll record here in University Hall, whose days are numbered. We launched the podcast in 2013 over at the McHugh Center before moving it here to U-Haul. Going forward, we'll be recording in the studio at John Paul Jones Arena, which is not a bad result for me. Anyway, it's good to be here one last time. It's great to be able to talk UVA football with my guest, Justin Anderson, who is the Director of Player Personnel for Bronco Mendenhall's program. Justin, welcome. You got vacation coming up, right?
Yep, looking forward to that little break. It's nice to catch a little break.
Well, thanks for making time for this. let me get the obvious question out of the way. You arrived here December 2015, about 9 months after your namesake played his final game at JPJ. How much did you hear about Justin Anderson, yeah, the basketball player?
I didn't realize I was so popular when I got here. it's funny. I mean, it happens a lot when you call or stop in somewhere. They're expecting someone a little bit different than they get, but yeah, it's a pretty good act to follow.
And you, I remember there was a pretty good picture of you two taken, like, right on the baseline from a basketball game at JPJ.
I actually got that in my office. Pretty cool. Great guy. Really, I was really impressed when I met him. And, yeah, it's my name surprises people when I show up, that's for sure.
For listeners who are not familiar with all the behind-the-scenes aspects of the football operation here, what does your job as director of player personnel entail?
Yeah, it's really almost like a manager of sorts, you know, monitoring scholarship numbers, allotting scholarship numbers to positions. Now that the rules have changed, evaluation of film and potential recruits, helping with unofficial and official visits. Yeah, there's a lot to it that I guess people don't really realize. It's all the on-campus recruiting, making sure coaches are going to the right high schools and watching the right kids when they're there, and almost like an operations center, really, is what it becomes.
Do you have a board in the main meeting room with recruiting targets ranked by position, or, you know, how do you organize it that way?
Yeah, so a lot of coaches use the old, you know, stickers or magnets on a board. We've changed a little bit. We've got a program that we use that's all electronic, but it has the same thing. It's a board, and it's ranked by position, and it's color coded by certain things that we're looking for, and has little icons on there that tell us certain things about each potential recruit. And yeah, we look at that almost every day, and we talk about recruits, and then we have our own little board just for the state of Virginia.
I know there are exceptions to the rules in recruiting, but do you have kind of a template or a model in terms of height and weight and maybe speed that you want for certain positions?
Yeah, so it's been interesting, the transition from Brigham Young to here. I think it's been a little bit of a learning curve for all of us, and it's been great. It's a great place to recruit, but yeah, I think we've changed a little bit the model, and I think now we've really got a good feel for what we really need to compete in the ACC. So we do. We have ideal height, weight, speed standards that we're kind of looking for at each position.
Under NCAA rules, we cannot talk about specific recruits.
Correct.
Until they sign their letters of intent.
Correct.
Anybody who follows UVA football, though, closely knows that the staff has been on a big time role this month. What's been the reaction inside the McHugh Center to that flurry of commitments, and did you see it coming?
No, some of it was, you know, in recruiting, it's funny because you work really hard, and we talk about this all the time. Sometimes you really don't know what someone's looking for. You think you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we've done is we've just kind of, you know, you stay the course. You don't get distracted. You stay the course, and you keep to the standards of what you're looking for. And Coach Mendenhall and the rest of us, we've kind of got a good idea what we want here at the University of Virginia. And so, yeah, we've been pretty selective about the guys we're looking for. And then, yeah, this last weekend, it's fun to see for the coaches and their hard work and their efforts, and really everyone in the recruiting department and the whole football building. it's fun to see those things pay off when you've worked really hard. You've done all you can to get them to come and see you, and it was a lot of excitement. I can say that this last weekend, a lot of excitement in the building.
Not every player you're recruiting these days is from the United States. Last year's recruiting class, he'll be a redshirt freshman in the fall, included Garrick Vollmer, an offensive lineman from Germany.
Yeah.
There are more players on the way from overseas. Is Europe an untapped market for football recruits? I mean, is that an area that is kind of opening up and you'll be continuing to look at?
Yeah, we think so. Bronco Mendenhall, over the years, when he was at BYU, you know, they recruited Samoa and
right.
Tonga and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of the draw with the religious institution and the culture. There's a lot
right.
of Polynesians out in that area. So Coach Mendenhall is not new territory for him, looking for different avenues to find guys that fit his type of program, right? So at BYU, we looked for that certain model. Now here, we're learning that there's maybe different avenues that we can find really good players. And Coach Mendenhall, over the years, I think people were to ask what kind of coach he is, he's a developmental coach. You know, he does a really good job of developing guys over time.
Right.
And so I think these, you know, there is a lot of different areas or countries or places that we think we're going to be able to have some success in.
The coaches are the ones who go out on the road to scout and meet with players and high school coaches.
Yep.
But the recruiting operation here involves many more people than just Coach Mendenhall and his assistants. Can you give us a breakdown of kind of who you work with and in what role, starting with the guys kind of at the top, and then you have students, don't you, who help?
Yeah,
the
so we've... really grateful for Carla Williams since she's been here. She's really been great to work with, as well as Jim Booz. They've really helped provide some more support that we
right.
really felt like we needed to compete. And it's so competitive on the East Coast. That's the one thing I think we've learned of being here, is there's so many schools in a densely populated area. And if you really look at it, I mean, the West Coast schools are recruiting out here more so than the East Coast recruiting the West Coast.
Right.
So there's a lot of competition, and the idea is the sooner you can find and identify and build relationships when you're allowed to with young men, the better chance you have. You know, relationships really, we think, do go a long ways, and Coach Mendenhall is really sincere. So I want to make sure that everyone knows they've been great about helping us get those resources. And so there's myself. We have Bob Price, who works in recruiting, Pat Hickman now, who's also our player development, has been helping us in recruiting. Blanda Wolf in recruiting. We've hired two new young up-and-comers we're excited about. Zach Bradshaw is a former player here, and a guy by the name of Drew Hickson. And then we have some other guys coming on their way. I'll wait to announce them until it's
right.
official, but then we have another young man that Nate Crutchfield that we got from Alabama, and then we have our student crew. And Kerry Kane also helps us, and then we've hired Blair Hodges, who also used to work in our student department.
And her brother played here, right, Jacob?
Yeah, and so she worked in our recruiting department a few years ago and has kind of been off in the recruiting world at other places, and lucky to have her back. And she's really, her focus is really helping on on-campus visits.
Mm-hmm.
And the others' names that I mentioned, Bob and Pat, Drew and Zach, are really helping with the identification part. Now that's something you can do. That's where we're really putting a lot of resources. And then we have a student group back there of 8 to 10, and they're doing a lot of different tasks. And then we have a graphic designer, Heather Dodge, who's
upstairs,
phenomenal.
Yeah,
she's great, and she has a few students that work for her. So, yeah, it is a growing program, and. Yeah, we're excited about what the future holds.
You played wide receiver at BYU in the early 2000s. If there was social media back then, I was unaware of it. And you probably were too. How big a part of the recruiting process is social media now? I mean, if you're on Twitter and you follow our coaches or follow the players that we're targeting, you see a lot of tweets.
It's everything now. I mean, you know, I've got six kids. I've got a few daughters that are teenagers, and social media is their form of communication now. And, you know, with recruits, mail, I think, is still there. But
I was going to say, is there still a place for snail mail? Do you still send letters?
A little bit. Yeah, there is. I think the handwritten, you know, the personal mail is a little bit more important now than the other stuff. Than I think what the mass mailers that used to take place. But I do think, you know, this social media frenzy, in a lot of ways, I mean, it helps us learn about kids as well. So we use that as an identification of personality or possible character issues that you might look through. So we have people doing that, looking over their Twitter and Instagram and different things like that. So it's funny, you know, Twitter's really big for certain things, but now we're learning that this Instagram. Is becoming the huge form of communication for them. So
last year marked the first time that, you know, high school players were allowed to sign in December, the first December signing period. That's kind of changed the recruiting calendar, hasn't it? Were you happy being able to get guys in the fold, but what is it? Does it accelerate the whole process because you have to have evaluated them well before December then?
Yeah, I mean, it's good because, you know, you can get guys kind of locked in and ready to go. You don't have to wait till that February signing period. And there's some guys that are ready, so it's nice. Nice in that regards, but it really has accelerated everything. Now they can do official visits starting in April of their junior year all the way through June, and that's a whole
new... So you've had kids in the past couple months, right?
Yeah, from April to June 22nd or 23rd. I can't remember that date. We've had guys... recruits in on the weekends doing official visits, and that's a whole new deal now. So that's been a little bit of a game changer, trying to manage that whole situation and how we're going to go about doing it. I think we have a really good plan for what we want to do now going forward. I think we've had some success with it, but it's really made things a little bit faster. So that's why we've put some resources in the identification part so that we can identify these guys a little sooner.
We are in a recruiting dead period right now that lasts until July 24th. What does that mean exactly? Dead period, no contact at all between prospects and coaches. Can you do social media? Can you mail stuff?
You can still, it's really no in-person contact is what it comes
down to. So they can't come on grounds to meet you and you can't go.
Correct.
Can you call them can coaches call at this point or
no? No calls. It's, you know, texting, mail, you know, direct messaging through Twitter, that form of communication still exists. Now, there are different age groups that we can do that to. It's not open to anybody. Right. And that's what sometimes I think most don't realize is there are different times of the year when you can recruit different age groups. And so really your freshmen and sophomores, there is no communication with them. Even juniors at this point, there is none. It's guys that will be seniors, we can continue that contact. Once September 1st hits, then contact with juniors and seniors will kind of open up. And that contact meaning texting, et cetera. But dead period is no in-person contact or phone calls.
You came to UVA from BYU with Coach Mendenhall and a number of assistant coaches after the 2015 season. You were recruiting coordinator, director of player personnel there. Bronco has talked several times this year about how unique it is to recruit at BYU. He said the pool of prospects is much smaller there, but your offer to acceptance ratio was about 2-1. At UVA, the pool of prospects is much larger, but you have to extend a lot more scholarships and kind of cover more ground. So as you mentioned, that there has been kind of a learning curve, right?
Yeah, definitely has been a learning curve. And the one thing I love about working for Coach Mendenhall is an offer means something to him. And so when there's an offer extended, we want to make sure we've done our evaluation and our background, our character check, and the different things that we're looking for so that, let's say a young man decides he does want to be a part of our program, that we're ready and willing to accept that commitment. Otherwise, an offer is really not an offer. So that's one of the things that you had to do. There, I mean, every kid out here, right. like I was saying earlier, every kid out here has several offers. And so, yeah, it is a lot more competitive than I would say. BYU is still it's really hard to recruit to. But, yeah, a little bit smaller pool.
Coach Mendenhall has also remarked several times this year on how important in-state recruiting is for the program going forward. He's also noted how difficult, you know, it's been, in part because Virginia Tech has dominated its rivalry with UVA for more than a decade now. Do you see progress on that front? I mean, he's talked about the importance of actually winning that game and what that will mean, but do you have a greater comfort level in-state with in-state high school coaches than maybe you did when you first got here?
I think we're building. And, you know, I think winning solves a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And beating your rival solves even more. And so, yeah, while we have put an increased effort in that and we've really made an effort to get out and meet the high school coaches and build relationships there, you know, inviting them to see us practice, I think when coaches get a chance to see how Coach Mendenhall works – and they see his program and how he's developing young men, I think they really gain an appreciation for who he is. So while we've gained some ground, there's a lot of work still to be done. And like I said, a lot of that work has to do with the W.
Yeah. The NCAA passed a rule that allows FBS teams starting this year to have a 10th full-time assistant coach. And in January, Ricky Brumfield took over as special teams coordinator here. He's a guy you knew well. I know you recommended him for the job. You worked with him for 2 years at Nicholls State.
Yep.
What's it been like kind of being reunited with Ricky, and what does he add to the staff, not only as a coach but as a recruiter?
Yeah, it's been great. He's, you know, over the years when we separated, we kept in touch and we'd kind of build a friendship over time. And so it's been fun having him back. We joke a lot, and there's a lot of teasing that goes back and forth, kind of continued from what we did at Nicholls. And he brings experience and understanding, and he's a really good recruiter. I mean, he has a good feel with how to recruit. And doing it the right way, and he's really good at building relationships with people. And when people meet him, I think they'll get maybe better understand what I'm saying. But he's got a great personality, so he's brought a lot already to the table. In the short time he's been here, he's brought a lot of recruits' interest to UVA, which is great.
Well, you got about, I guess we got about 6 weeks now between now and the start of training camp, 5 weeks,
Can't
six
wait.
Weeks. But anyway, I know you, you've earned a break.
I look forward to it.
Thanks again for stopping by, and enjoy your vacation. We'll see you back here in July.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Things are quiet this time of year for Virginia athletics in terms of competition, but a number of student athletes are in town training and taking summer school, and the action will pick up again soon. For information on all 27 of our teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back in July with another podcast. As always, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.